It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. Psalm 118:24. It says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We come every morning, most mornings, to worship God together, to put him first collectively, and we will be blessed as we do so. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. We thank you for this day that you have allowed us to be able to come and to share another time with you, Lord. We ask that you will bless our morning worship as we open up your word. We ask for the anointing words to be granted to our pastor, for you to fill him with your spirit. And as always, have your spirit to help us, Lord, to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Amen. About time, brothers and sisters. Our topic today is Jesus Christ, our High Priest, in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we study the word this morning. Give us insights from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, my brothers and sisters, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. What God is saying here is that there comes a point in our walk that God wants us to continue to grow. He doesn't want us to continue to have to learn the plan of redemption, learn how to repent, learn how to surrender our hearts to God, and just basic doctrines, baptism, laying on of hands, that will be relating to the gifts of the Spirit, the resurrection of the dead. These are important topics, brothers and sisters, very important, because a lot of people are told lies about what happens when you die and so on and so forth. But God is saying that there's time to grow beyond that, okay? And this is what it says. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, a lot of people will wonder, well, man, I've known Christ for a while, and then I backslid. Maybe God has left me. Maybe there's no hope for me. That's not the case, brothers and sisters. This phrase, falling away, is used in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and it's chapter 2. And let's look at what it says in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What this is talking about in this verse is the Roman Catholic Church that had hijacked the Christian church, and they had actually caused it to fall away from biblical principles, and it began to put in its place traditions of men. So God in Hebrews is not talking about a weak moment you might have, some backsliding even that you did, you got off your game, so to speak. It's talking about people who leave the faith, leave the truth, and it's talking about people who have been leaders in the truth. They've tasted the good word. And they understood it, but then they leave this wonderful truth. God is saying, you can't bring them back with repentance. You see, there comes a point in time, brothers and sisters, where the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. He's working on your heart. He's wooing you, but he's not going to woo you forever. He is not going to woo us forever. There comes a point in time where he will sadly leave because we've grieved him. That's what was going on in the times of the Jews in Christ's time. They had grieved him because the hardness of their heart. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by continually rejecting the truth, my brothers and sisters. And you don't want to do that. The Holy Spirit is pleading. You know that song says, Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling. He's calling today. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So he uses this analogy in nature to show that people who have received this wonderful truth, but then would turn away from it. Okay? It's like, they've gotten all the beautiful rain and sunshine. Instead of bearing good fruits, they bear thorns and briars. They end up being plucked up. It goes on, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, but that ye may be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. I like that verse. You see, brothers and sisters, God works by multiplication. We work by addition. Peter tells us, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. But we serve a God who will then multiply. But guess what? Some of us won't give God anything to work with. Guess what? I've got a calculator in my hand, and that calculator said if I put in, let me turn it on real quickly, if I put in $1 million, that's what, 1 million blessings that God gives, and I multiply it by us not doing anything, guess what it equals? It equals zero. 1 million blessings times nothing we put in. You see, we've got to have skin in the game. We think that we've been lied to and told that God does everything. No, he does not do everything. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He forgives us. But then he does in us and through us what we could not do by ourselves. But if you don't go out and let him use you, then it doesn't get done. So, friends, God requires a surrender of our hearts to him, and only as we surrender to our Lord and loving Savior Jesus Christ will he work in our lives. And that's our problem, brothers and sisters. If you are not having, you should ask yourself, Lord, do I have peace? Is there peace in my heart? Friends, if you don't have peace, you haven't made a full surrender. You shouldn't have struggles and troubles and wonderings and fears. It's all about surrendering to God. He has promised. There's a beautiful song. Jesus has promised my shepherd to be. That's why I love him so. Unto the children, he said, come to me. That's why I love him so. That's why I love him. That's why I love him, because he first loved me. When I'm tempted and tried, he is close by my side. That's why I love him so. It goes on to say, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of counsel confirmed it by an oath. The an oath is the, that would be, one oath would be the covenant. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that he might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Brothers and sisters, God's word is true, and in his word he has his covenant, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. See, the whole study of Hebrews is going to lead us into the work of our great high priest, which is Jesus Christ. He is working for us in heaven. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of people know that we have a Seventh-day Adventist background, and a lot of people think that all that Seventh-day Adventist focuses on, or that the unique feature, is the Sabbath. It is not. Let me tell you something that will burst your bubble. There were Seventh-day Baptists before there were Seventh-day Adventists, and there are today Seventh-day Pentecostals. There are plenty of people that know the truth about the Sabbath. What set Seventh-day Adventists apart was their understanding of Christ in the holy heavenly sanctuary, friend. That's what made it different. And you see, Jesus is in heaven. He was begotten to be our great high priest. And when you look at the Old Testament, you understand that during the year, the priests would do the various sacrifices outside. But only once a year, in Leviticus 16, you can read about it, he would go into the most holy place to do a work of judgment. That means that all the sins throughout the year were forgiven, but if anybody held on to sin, when the judgment came and God symbolically, in the Old Testament, he was doing it symbolically, to symbolize that he's going to go through every name of every person who has said, I want to follow Jesus. Every person who has professed to be a follower of Christ will come up in review before God. What will happen when your name comes up, brothers and sisters? What will happen when God calls your name? Will all he's going to do is say, has Shalom accepted the gospel? Has he asked forgiveness of all of his sin? And is he walking in all that he knows to do that is right with my help? Because that's the gospel. That's all the gospel is, friends. It is a promise of forgiveness. I call it pardon and power. That's the gospel. He gives you pardon for the past and power for the present. If you reject the power for the present and you are not living in the way God would have you to live, you have rejected the gospel. He will not place a stamp of well done, thou good and faithful servant. But even if you're in your weakness and your struggle, you call out to God and say, Lord, I need your help. Please help me. I want to do what is right. I want to surrender my soul to God. If you just show me, I will follow you all the way. My friends, he takes our deficiencies and he empowers us with his strength and his merits, and we will be saved, brothers and sisters. This is not legalism here, okay? God does not save us by our own work, but godly people will do the work because he works in us. Faith without works is dead. God in you, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. And so God is telling us that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus within the veil, how he's pleading with hands that have been pierced with nails, and he's holding up his hands before God, calling your name, Susie, Johnny. He's constantly presenting our prayers before the Father as we pray. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, it's so beautiful, friend. That you be not slothful. Oh, I'm sorry. It went. So it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered in for us, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is a high priest. The Bible tells us that. When you look at what the high priest did, he went into the most holy place at the end of the year. Jesus is coming soon. That's why the Bible teaches about the investigative judgment that is happening right now. And that's why we're encouraging you to get your life right with God, because your name will be brought in review before God. And guess what? All we're doing is preparing for heaven. What kind of music do they listen to in heaven? What kind of clothes do we wear in heaven? What kind of kindnesses, or how do we treat people? How are we going to treat each other in heaven? Friends, this is our preparation for that. And if we are not preparing properly for that, then we're basically saying, God, we're not wanting to go to heaven. But, oh, my brothers and sisters, you don't want Jesus to have died for you in vain. Surely you don't want that. Then we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, just show me what you want me to do. He will do it. But just know that you have a great high priest in heaven who is taking your prayers, sent by the Holy Ghost, and presenting them to the Father with his merits. So you don't have to worry whether you're good enough to have your prayers answered. No, we're not good enough, but Jesus is, and he takes our prayers and presents them to the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us now as we transition to wellness. We pray for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break, have our intermission. We'll be back talking about hypoglycemia. We want to remind you, this is the 15th of the month. We want to see, for those who are looking at our training school, please register. We're not going to reject anybody who registers after the 15th, but you do need to be registered before we start that class. And if you wait too late, you will not have your textbook prior to class. It'll still be mailed out. So we want to encourage, for those who don't know about it, just go to torso.org, read all about, just scroll down. You'll read all about a training program that certifies you as a wellness, holistic wellness coach with the biblical methods of healing. And we're running that class. We did an introductory class, which is free, and you'll see a link to that where you can watch that, so you're caught up there. And then the rest will be a paid course, but it's very reasonable, and there are payment plans. that you can have. And it'll run from August the 27th to November 19th, skipping one Sunday, which is September 10th. Don't miss out on this wonderful opportunity. If you will learn a special learning system, you will learn in a fraction of the time with a fraction of the cost. Go check it out. At this time, we will hear the Torso song.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life. So
disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. I want to talk to you all about a condition called hypoglycemia. Hypoglycemia, it's related to diabetes. When you have diabetes, that's hyperglycemia. So basically, if you look at the words hypo, that means something that's too low. Gly, dealing with the sugar, because it's a root for glucose. Semia, in the blood, low blood sugar is what it is. Hyperglycemia is high sugar in the blood. And so what happens, brothers and sisters, is that many people eat the wrong foods, no breakfast or donuts and coffee, snacks, all the children eating the sugary foods and things of this nature, and it raises your blood sugar way, like skyrockets it. Your body realizes that that is a very dangerous situation if it just kept going up, because, of course, if it stayed up, that would be diabetes, right? So God made insulin in our bodies from the pancreas to be secreted, and then that drops it down. However, when you bombard your body with a lot of sugar at one time, it has to dump large amounts of insulin in. And what will happen is your body will start getting into this cycle that it says, okay, every time he eats, he always gives me too much sugar. So every time you eat, particularly if it's something sweet, it'll start just naturally dumping large amounts of sugar. So even when you just eat an apple, it dumps large amounts of, insulin. It dumps large amounts of insulin. The insulin causes the sugar to dive too low, and then the adrenal glands are stressed because they've got to bring the sugar back up. They have to send adrenaline, which is a stress hormone, to help pull the stored sugar out of the liver and muscles so that you can get the blood sugar back up. So your body is constantly going on this roller coaster ride. If you drink alcohol, roller coaster ride. Alcohol has more, raises your blood sugar faster than even sugar does. And so you don't want to eat refined foods. We say the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. And that is really true, friends. Even though bread might not taste sweet, that it breaks down the sugars. And so we need to eat whole grain foods or whole foods. So we don't eat white bread. We don't eat white rice. We eat brown rice, like, and not colored brown with soy sauce. I'm talking about actual brown rice before it's been refined. When they refine it, they remove the grain I'm sorry, they remove the bran, and the germ, and then they just give you the white starchy stuff that turns to sugar. Then they sell you the bran in a bottle. You buy it expensively, oat bran or a wheat bran, and then you buy extra other stuff to give you fiber when it was already in the bran, in the grain. Just get it whole, friends. And so sugar, we need to just get rid of just sugar, friends. It's just not best for us. You know, just the way we eat it today, just all the large amounts of sugar. I'm not saying a little sugar. And, of course, we try to get maybe raw sugar or something more natural. But people overdo it. There is 12 teaspoons of sugar possibly in a can of soda pop. There's 3 teaspoons of sugar in a piece of candy or a piece of gum. So we just eat candy, gum all day long. Our blood sugar is just boom, 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 just going crazy. And that's why we feel like we got to have a cup of coffee because, you know, coffee is going to stimulate your adrenals and pick up your blood sugar and get more oxygen and everything to your brain. But that's not good for you. That's a stimulus, like a drug. Okay, so God wants us to live a healthier life. Eat whole foods, friends. We eat 2 meals a day, 3 at the most, and we make our meals, build them around a salad. So if it's a fruit meal, we'll eat a fruit salad. Those who are diabetic may not be able to do that right away, but those of us who are not, lots of fruits. Then you eat something whole grain foods or some other food item. And then for the other meal, we eat a big salad. Then we also have other foods that go along with it. We had a haystack yesterday. I was going to post it on Facebook. I didn't actually post it, but I don't know if it's going to show. That's a picture of what was on my plate yesterday, friends. Those of you, just go to Facebook and you'll be able to see it. But that was a haystack. We call it a haystack, but it has chips, it has beans, it has, you know, avocado and tomato and a plant-based cheese. It was delicious. Think of it like a taco type salad type flavors, you know, in it. It's very similar to that. Sometimes we could put rice on it. I think this might have had some rice. I'm not sure. This was as it was as my wife gave it to me, but it was beautiful, friends. Doesn't that look sort of lovely? Doesn't that look lovely? So, friends, some people think we just eat like rabbit food. I eat good and healthy foods, not foods that raise your blood sugar too fast and cause your body to dump large amounts of insulin in. Let's change the way we eat. We'll feel better. We'll have more energy. It'll be better for our brains and help us overall. Again, friends, we're encouraging you. Go to torsoe.org, T-O-R-S-O-E, and watch the video of the class that you missed. That was on August the 6th. It was a foundational class that gives you foundational health principles. That is important for you to get that foundation, whether you're taking the class or not, the course or not. But we have a course that is on Zoom. It's a paid course. It's $650, and there are payment programs. And you'll receive a certification as a holistic wellness coach. We spell holistic with a W, not the way the world spells it, because Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." So we recognize the true method of healing is a biblical method, and it involves trusting in God, the live-free lifestyle, natural remedies, and we have the live-free, the trusting in God, cleansing the body, the live-free lifestyle, and natural remedies. Those are the 4 components, and we'll be studying several diseases. In the various systems, from the skeletal system, from the muscular system, from the digestive system, the respiratory system, the urinary system, the male reproductive system, the female reproductive system, all 12 of the systems, friends. It's going to be an exciting journey, and God has given us a method of teaching. It's a learning system, and it uses flow charts. So this is the beginning page of leukemia, for those of you who can see it. And it's full of flow charts, so it's very graphical. And this is a prototype of a textbook, but we're going to have a textbook that will be over 400 pages. Those of you who have signed up, you're going to be looking for that. We're about to start mailing them out very soon. So I just want to give you that opportunity to do that. Jesus said, the Bible says in Luke 9, 1 and 2, it says, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So we've been given power and authority to cure diseases, and we've been told, we've been commanded to heal, as we learned a day or so ago. It's very important that we do the healing work. And then we read in a book called Councils on Health 506, as religious aggression subverts the liberties of our nation, those who would stand for freedom of conscience will be placed in unfavorable positions. They should, while they have opportunity, become intelligent in regard to disease, its causes, prevention, and cure. Those who do this will find a field of labor anywhere. There will be suffering ones among us, but many who are not of our faith. Brothers and sisters, there's so much sickness in the world. And if you want to work for God, you need to learn how to heal the body. So join us. You'll learn how to reverse cancer and arthritis and diabetes and hypertension and so many other diseases. So that's my little talk on that. It's time for us to do roll call, and then we'll open the phone line. On Facebook, we have South Carolina. We have a dear brother, Lawrence, not sure where he's from. God bless you, brother. Welcome. We have Florida with our sister Bernadette, who says good morning to us. And we have a dear sister, Deborah, from the Netherlands. Praise God. On the call, we have Maryland represented. We have I'm a little sleepy this morning. Alabama, we have Pennsylvania, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey, we have Oklahoma, we have Ohio, we have Ohio again, and we have Georgia. So welcome one, welcome all. We're going to take Brother Joseph on the call at this time. Good morning, my dear brother.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Very well. I just want to let you know you were speaking directly to me this morning with the health message. And I just want to thank you and let you know that I love you and I'm thinking of you always. So stay blessed, you and your wife. And I just appreciate what you're doing, or what both of you are doing for us each and every morning. So just know that you're loved and continue to do the Lord's work.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We love you, too. We love you, too. All right, we're going to go to Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree. You are muted, my sister. Unmute yourself.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Sorry about that. Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria and everybody. In Hebrews 6 and verse 20, it says, and Jesus is made an high priest forever after the order of, how do you pronounce that?
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll get one of these days. But this is the thing. So it said Jesus was made an high priest after the order of that. Does that mean after the death of Christ, then the Holy Spirit came or something like that? Is that what it is for after the order of? And then Christ became the high priest, and because the Holy Spirit was able to come first in the earth, because he said, I have to go in order for the Holy Spirit to come, and then that was the order. Can you explain that? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Is that what that was? When it says after
explain. That particular, I guess that's going to be, is that a preposition? It doesn't deal with time. Like we would say, we're going to do something after the broadcast is over. That particular meaning deals with following the principles of. So in other words, there was a priesthood that was an Aaronic priesthood, or the priesthood that Aaron had. And it would be after the order of the Aaronic priesthood, which was Aaron and his sons, you know, back in the Old Testament. The order of Melchizedek was a divine being. We know him to be, the Bible doesn't say this, but the Bible says of Melchizedek that he had no father, no mother, no beginning, no ending. That has to be a divine being. We believe Melchizedek was the Holy Spirit. That's not a strange thing. If any member of the Godhead can choose to take on any substance that he chooses. So sometimes Jesus took on the facade or the nature, not nature, I'm not saying it right, but in other words, Christ is called the archangel. So I believe there are times where, you know, he bore a semblance of the angels. He now bears the semblance of man. He's 100% man. So if he could do it, why couldn't the Holy Spirit do it as well? And so Christ came after the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek, if you go back in the Old Testament, was the king of Salem and also called king of peace. And Abraham would give his tithe to Melchizedek. So Melchizedek came down to serve as a high priest on the earth, but he was not after the order of Aaron. It was a different order, and I believe that's because he's a divine being. So when Christ became our high priest after he was resurrected, his priesthood is not the priesthood of Aaron, which deals with sacrificing goats and bulls and those kinds of things, because the priest had to do those sacrifices. He actually had spilled his own blood for us on Calvary. So that's what he uses as the blood, symbolic blood, to represent us and to cover us with is his blood. So the after the order simply means following the principles of the Melchizedek priesthood.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Study that. All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. We've got Sister Winston, and then we'll take a comment on Facebook. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to thank you for your ministry because I have been truly blessed. But I have two questions. The Last Supper, I haven't had communion the whole year, and I wanted to know, is it important that we partake of the Last Supper? Because I haven't been doing it, and it did say that it shows his death and resurrection till he comes again. So is it important for us to do it? And the second question is about the hydrogen generator. I haven't been using it, and should I leave it dry? Should I leave it in the water and everything in it, or should I leave it empty?
I would say if you know for sure you're not going to use it within 30 days or so, I would probably empty it.
Yes. Okay. I'll have someone empty it.
Empty it, kind of rinse it out a little bit, and it'll be fresh for when you need it again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, as far as communion goes, we should have communion as we're able. In other words, if you are not in a position to, if there's no place to do it, if there's no opportunity to do it, you know, we're all fellowshipping one with another as it were a church family, but we're scattered. Okay. Now, by the grace of God, that does not mean that if we come to your area that we could not have communion with you or offer, you know, do a little communion service even in your home. We're willing to do that. But the point is that we should understand that there are, in other words, there's not, if you don't have an opportunity to do it, if there's no church fellowship that you're comfortable with in so doing, then God understands, but we wouldn't want to neglect it if that was available to us. We have the thief on the cross principle. He couldn't get down and get baptized. Baptism is a wonderful thing. He couldn't be baptized. Many people find Jesus in jail. They're incarcerated, and they don't have the opportunity to do that, and they wouldn't have the opportunity, for example, to have communion. But God understands, and he works with them with what they have. But if, in other words, if we were all in the same locale, we usually do that twice a year, if not more than that, usually. So that's my answer. We're in a unique situation, but God has allowed for this technology because I think God knew that there would be not a lot of places that we can go where we hear truth. And so he has allowed this wonderful temporary blessing for us to be able to worship together with him. And if you want to talk about anything, if we're ever in your area, definitely we can bring communion to you, my sister.
Yes. But the reason why I asked, because the church that I attend, you know, they started using that little white wafer and the juice when they had communion. That's why I didn't take it, you know, at the church,
right?
Because I didn't think we were supposed to do that, because
I think
that was done by the Catholic Church.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
The circular
thing that the Bible says they broke the bread. You're not going to break it into a complete circle. That came from, remember, a lot of things from the Roman Catholic Church come from sun worship. And so even the round wafer and all of that comes from sun worship.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
But when I was attending church before the pandemic, in fact, I used to do the bread, you know, when I was head deaconess at the church that my membership is still there, but I don't go there to worship, you know, because I worship online and everything like that. But if I go to church and they have people making communion, that would be fine, that I would be comfortable with taking it. But as long as they use that wafer, I wasn't comfortable with it, so I didn't participate in it with it.
I fully understand. I fully understand.
Yes.
I mean, and I think that you know, God would be honored in so doing. People need to be educated. You shouldn't be doing things that come from Rome.
Yes. So anyway, thank you very much, and everyone have a blessed day, and I want to know that I do keep everybody in prayer, especially Sister Elena. I hope everything is going well with her, and Sister Desiree, and I was so happy to see her mother and to hear her testimony and all, and I've truly been blessed, and please keep me in my family in prayer. They do, like I said, attend First Day churches, and that's their choice. But I pray that God will direct them in the path that he would have them go before it's eternally too late. So everybody have a blessed day, and that's all I have to say. God has been good to me.
Amen. Good. Thank you, sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, then. We are going to take something on Facebook, and then we'll take Brother Joseph. We have Sister Deborah asking, does that mean that the moment Jesus permanently returned to the third heaven, the Holy Spirit transferred the high priesthood office to Jesus? My understanding is we have that verse. We read it in Hebrews where he said, "This day have I begotten thee." That was at his resurrection. So God may have considered him being the high priest even at his resurrection. I'm not so sure it was conferred on him by the Holy Spirit. I have to check that out. Maybe if you have a scripture, please share that. But definitely he was ordained by the Father to be the high priest. And that's what his work was once he was resurrected. Of course, he spent some time with his disciples. First he went to heaven to know that his sacrifice was accepted. Then he came back down, spent about 40 days with his disciples, and then he went up fully to engage in his, you know, actual work. But his, you might say, ordination to be the great high priest was I don't want to say finalized. The ordination was finalized at his resurrection. That might not be the best word, but he was definitely resurrected to be our great high priest. Okay, and then he said, I'll find some supporting verses. God has empathy with us and is flexible, working with what is possible within our realm. I think that's beautiful, beautifully said. All right, we're going to go take Brother Joseph at this time again. Good morning again, Brother Joseph.
Yes, I just want to say thank you for your explanation of the Holy Spirit and Melchizedek. I've never heard that before, but it makes perfect sense, and I'm going to study that this week to have a better understanding. Also, I just want, and I hope she's on the line, our mother in Israel and her discussion about the wafer and her situation as it relates to her church, which I think most of us can have the same situation. So I just want to thank her, if she's on the line, for what she has explained about her situation. And the next time you talk to her, if she doesn't, if she's not listening, that I am praying for her on a regular basis, and I love to hear her voice. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, she is on the call. She is listening, and I'm sure she's smiling and thankful for your concern. All right, my brothers and sisters, I believe that is all the questions. So we've got about 7 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll go ahead and close out with prayer. Again, those of you who have not watched the first class, go to our website, watch the Foundational Principles of Biblical Wellness video. That's our first class. Then after that, we'll be having classes August 27th to November 19th, skipping September 10th. It's every Sunday from 10 to 12, and we'll be going through the entire body using the learning system that God has taught us and given us here at Torso. We call it Torso Flow. It's flow chart learning, and therefore you'll learn in a fraction of the time with a fraction of the cost, and learn how to be a medical missionary. All right, we do have another mother in Israel, and since we have time, we'll go ahead and take our mother in Israel from Maryland at this time. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. I just called to verify what you said about Melchizedek.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not the first time I heard it. There is a brother that speaks truthfully about the scriptures. He lives in Washington State. I used to get tapes from CDs from him, but I don't worry about that anymore. He said that he has the information that Sister White verifies that the Holy Spirit is also God, and he took on the form of a human to do certain types of work at the time when Melchizedek was on the earth. And he said anyone that needed information, he can send it to them. But I didn't worry. I had to be the understanding that is correct.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that.
So you're not out of line. You're perfectly correct. Because
amen.
The one who verified that.
Yes. Some things I agree with you, and I am aware of that. just looking at it even from the Bible, it could not be any other than the Holy Spirit, because it's not Jesus, because he came in the order of, so it wasn't him. It would have to be, it would have to be. So thank you so much for your encouragement.
Jesus had a mother.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Jesus did have a mother. So it would have to be another divine being that did not have a mother. Praise God. And you know, the high priest presented things to the Supreme One. I mean, you know, the high priest was not God in the Old Testament. It was Aaron was the high priest, but he ministered before God, you see. So the same principle would apply to Melchizedek, and therefore it leaves us with only one option, and that would be Jesus Christ. Thank you, Mother. God bless you.
That would be the Holy Spirit.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Sorry. That would be the Holy Spirit. It would have to be the Holy Spirit. That's correct. I said it wrong, but I meant the Holy Spirit. Yes. It could not be Christ because he had a mother, and the high priest always ministered to someone higher than him, and therefore it only leaves the Holy Spirit as an option. Thank you so much.
And there are only three persons in the Godhead.
That's right. There's only three.
So praise the Lord. Have a blessed day. God bless you and continue to guide and direct you as you minister to others. And I pray for you every day. So we continue keeping each other in prayer until God comes or until he calls us.
Yes, yes, amen. All right, God bless you.
God bless you too, and your dear wife.
Thank you, thank you. All right, my friends, it's time for our closing prayer. If my wife is available, we'll ask her to close us out at this time.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment to our mother in Israel, the one down in Georgia. And she may recall she met us there at a church earlier this year. I think it was back in January when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be good for her to touch base with that particular church. They do have communion services. Communion services is usually once a quarter, so it's four times a year. And she can certainly check with them and see. Another thing that can happen, sometimes the church just needs to know. There are people in the church that just don't understand the importance of being able to break or to bake the bread, and sometimes we have to just train them and let them know. We used to have, at one of my old churches, we used to have a elder who actually would bake the bread, and he would bring it in, because we were just such, you know, this was before I became head of the deaconess. We deaconess board, we did not have, it wasn't structured, it wasn't organized, and so there was a brother that just, he loved to bake bread, and he baked bread all the time, and he had offered to bake the bread, do the communion bread every time we had communion service. And when I became a deaconess, I found out that he was doing it, and I told him that that would now be the responsibility of the deaconess to do, and you know, how we were very grateful that he was willing to do it. And so you'd be surprised that if you either offer to bake the bread for the communion service, or you teach the deaconess how to do the bread and the importance of doing it, people will want to make the right, I believe, sacrifices for the communion service. If people really understand the significance and the importance of it, people will be willing to do the right thing. So sometimes we as church members just have to teach things on to others that may not be aware. So I just wanted to mention that. You do have a couple options. You can either get with your old church, find out if the deaconess would be willing to bake the bread. The recipe is very simple for her to be able to do. You can check with the church that we met you at back in January, and you can do communion service with them. But it is important that communion services take place. And we did it one time during the pandemic, early on, and we did that as a service. And I know that some people weren't able to participate in the foot washing part of it because there was no one there to do the foot washing with them. but they were definitely able to participate in partaking of the wine and the bread. So, you know, we just have to think a little bit outside of the box. What can we do as a ministry to help those that are not able to attend a actual communion service? But I would encourage you to, for you, Mother Winston, to definitely look into the church that we met you at and was able to have fellowship with. I think that would be a very good option for you. At this time, we'll go ahead and close out in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and fellowship. We thank you for your Spirit leading us, always guiding, directing, and instructing us. And Lord, we pray that even throughout this day, as we continue to work and do other tasks, that we will remember to stop and to give you praise, glory, and honor, just thanking you for helping us throughout the day. Help us, Lord, to be able to seek you for wisdom. We need to know what you want us to do. We need to know how to do things. And we need to make sure that we're staying in the center of our Father's perfect will. And Lord, we pray for every heart on this line that you will bless each one in a special way. We ask for financial blessings to be granted, especially for those that are in need. We know times are hard, times are difficult, and money is short. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to be prosperous in this area. We ask, Lord, for spiritual, mental, and physical healing to be granted to each of us. Give us the portions we need, Lord, so that we would be able to carry forth as we work in your harvest. And we pray that all hearts would be surrendered to you. Help us to be in absolute obedience and to be in total surrender, Lord. Let us be victorious over every sin. Give us the strength that we need, your everlasting strength. And let us have the faith of Jesus. All these things are prayed and asked in his name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith. God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.